Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll empower Joyce on from on high. We thank you for her sacrifice of studying your word and sacrifice of her time in sharing and leading this congregation. Bless her today. Bless her on high. In the name of Jesus, let your Holy Spirit speak to us and to hear what you have to say through her. In Jesus' name.
So it was years ago, late 90s, I went on a missions trip to Israel. And I decided to go with a group that was going to be building a church at Mount Carmel. And this church was on a retreat ground that was owned by the Anglican Church of England. And the building was lovely. It was a beautiful, round building. I worked on the fourth commandment, which was the pillar that I was working on. And it was interesting that I just felt so very strongly God wanted me to go on this trip. And when I looked around the rest of the people who were going on this trip, they were all sort of like me. Pretty incompetent to build a building. All seemed to have gifts of prayer or worship. And, you know, there were several of us who had blondish, depending on the week, hair. You know, so we sort of called ourselves the Barbies tour. You know, and there we were kind of there. And our foreman was a bit befuddled by us. You know, some of you met him, Mike Hirsch. He was here to talk with us. He was a little befuddled by us because really, he had to do a lot of work with us, trying to teach us what to do to build this building. And it came to us very clearly that we were there really not so much to advance the physical work of the building, but we were there to pray and to worship. And so that seemed to be our mission. We kind of did our job, and yes, if you go there, you will see a lovely fourth commandment, and you could know. Rich and I visited it, and so, you know, I actually did work there. But basically, we were praying for this building and for the people who would be touched by God through this building. And so it was particularly distressing one day when one of the gentlemen with the most beautiful singing voice got hoarse laryngitis. And, you know, since he was the one we all keyed off of, you know, as we were singing there, it was kind of distressing. And so my mission team leader said to me, Joyce, will you pray for him? And so we gathered around, and I put my hand on his throat, and I prayed that God would restore the weapon that he had given, the way for this man to speak God's word, to proclaim God in that place. And I prayed for him, and we all prayed in unity as God used the words in my mouth. And, you know, within 10 minutes, you couldn't shut this guy up. You couldn't shut him up. He was singing beautifully. You would never have known that he had a laryngitis episode. You would never have known it. In fact, you know, we sort of wondered if we, you know, had prayed maybe too fervently for this fellow. But he just went on. See, we were there doing what Jesus did. That was what our mission was. We were doing what Jesus did. And that's really what God is going to talk with us today about. Are we willing to do what Jesus did? We're in the book of Acts. And you'll see that in the book of Acts, of course, you know, just a little recap. We had that moment of persecution when Peter and John were arrested by the Sanhedrin and they were scolded. Do not, you know, talk anymore about this carpenter from Nazareth. And they said, hey, got to do what God tells us to do. And then they went back and they told their buds, hey, you know, some people don't like us. We better pray. And so they all prayed together. The believers prayed in unity. And they prayed, you might remember, that God would take care of the enemies as God saw fit, and that God would give them courage to speak his word boldly, courage, and that God would confirm his word by doing signs and miracles. And wouldn't you know, God did that. Because right after that, you know, the enemy kind of sneaked into the camp. You know how the enemy likes to sneak into the camp. And he snuck into the hearts of two people and tempted them to try to deceive Ananias and Sapphira, tempted them to try to deceive the apostles as to their motives in giving their gift. But God miraculously gave Peter the discernment. Peter knew. And he challenged them, and God struck them dead. That's a sign and a wonder, and I'm telling you, it's a bit freaky. And I can be happy. That's not usually how God renders his discipline today. But I have heard of stories, actually, of people who've tried to deceive the Lord in that way. I haven't seen it, but who've received that kind of confirmation. We're now in the fifth chapter. Let's look at it, starting in verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs among the people. They all met together in Solomon's colonnade. This is the same place where they would meet. You remember when we talk about our mission at Westchester Chapel, our mission is to gather in fellowship, to have communion with God, to have communion and fellowship with each other, to pray, to read the scriptures. That's the place in the temple where everyone would gather. And they were meeting there, and they're still meeting in unity. It's so wonderful that they live close to each other. That's the one thing, if I could change about our life today in America, I would want us to live close to each other. You know, but not too close. But like close. You know, that would be just so wonderful, wouldn't it? That we could, if we could see each other more often than twice or three times a week, that would be lovely. But anyway, they're meeting there. That's probably their meeting daily because they have that luxury. And so what's happening here? They're, in fact, God is answering the prayer. The prayer that we talked about 2 weeks ago, the prayer that some of you actually prayed. God is answering it. He's giving them signs and miracles. And you know, that's important that God is answering it. Why? Because these folks are going against the grain. They are going against the religious authority. Remember, the religious authority tried to lock Peter and John up, right? They were not happy. So they're going against the religious authority. So you have the religious authority saying, don't listen to them. Nutcases, nutcases, warning, nutcases. And so they need confirmation from God. We're not crazy. They're going against the culture. They're going against the culture, and they need God to show them the culture that he's on their side. Do you feel like you're going against the culture ever? You ever feel like that? If you don't, then you know what? Maybe you're not connected to reality, because we are going against the culture. The culture says, serve yourself, and we say, serve others. The culture says, be self-controlled, or the culture says, just do what you want to do, and God says, be self-controlled. We're going against the culture. The culture says, make sure you look out for number one. And God says, look out for each other. We're going against the culture. If anyone needs a sign and a miracle, it is the Church of Christ. If anyone has a right to ask for a sign and a miracle, it is the Church of Christ. And God answers it, and he's answering it here. And in verse 13 and 14, it says, and none of the others dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. More and more believed in the Lord and were added to their numbers, multitudes of both men and women. This isn't a contradiction. It's not like they won't join them, but some do. You know, what they're saying here is the people who are skeptics are afraid to go in. And wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be? If you thought in your heart, you know what, I'm not sure I believe completely in this, you know, and then you see Ananias and Sapphira being carried out, you know, to be buried. I mean, would this not freak you out? You know, and you know what? It should. That is the point of it. God is there. It's not that Peter is like some super god that he can tell Ananias and Sapphira are, you know, lying and cheating. If Peter was wrong, nothing would have happened. You know, if that wasn't true, nothing would have happened with Ananias and Sapphira. God brought the judgment. It was God's choice, and it was God's information. God was sharing it with Peter. Why? Because he wanted everyone to know that Peter and God were tight, that Peter had God's word, and therefore what Peter said you could believe. You can believe the word of God from this man. Now you know that Peter was close to God, that he prayed. We see evidence of him praying a lot. We see evidence of him being corrected by other apostles in the church. We see even Paul later on bringing correction to Peter. Peter is not perfect. That's not the message. Peter can make a mistake and has made a mistake. That's not the message. But the message here is that God is confirming his word. And Peter spoke his word. That's the message. But there was a group of people who were scared by this and, yes, awed by it, and praise be to the Lord. And there was a group of people who said, yes, I want God. I believe. I believe. And those are the multitudes who joined them. The multitudes came in. The church was growing. More and more, even, than when Jesus was on earth. Verse 15. Are we there? Yeah, verse 15. So that people even, okay, so now we're seeing that people have been added to their number, and as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and on mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. What an odd idea. But not so odd in that day. In that day, in those days, the idea that the shadow had some mystical power was pretty common. You know, whether it was for the good or for the bad, it, you know, either kind of mystical power, it was pretty common. And so people are sort of suspicious. They don't really know everything yet. They don't know all the truth. They just know, hey, you know, shadows are mystical, and here's this guy, and boy, does he have power. And boy, does he have God's power. And boy, do I need help. And I want his shadow to fall on me, because even just the shadow will heal. You might remember that there was a precious woman in Scripture. Do you remember her? Who even just the hem of Jesus' cloak, she thought, if I can just touch him. And she was healed. Later on in Acts, we see this with Paul. People thinking, just the handkerchief that Paul used. We have to be careful with that, because it's not the handkerchief, it's not the hem. It's the trust in God, right? It's the trust in God. God, if God would only touch me, I would be healed. That's the message. If God would only touch me, I would be healed. Only but say the word, and I shall be healed. Only but say the word, and I shall be healed. People are desiring this, and we see this. Peter is it's important, see, this image of Peter as the healer, because the priests were the ones who proclaimed health in that community. If you've read Leviticus, and I strongly advise you to go through at least once a year, I do on my Bible reading plan, which I highly promote if you want a Bible reading plan. you will see that there's a lot of diseases that the priests are supposed to say, you're sick, go over there, or you're healed. They proclaimed health. The priests proclaimed health. And here's Peter. He's not just proclaiming health, he's giving it. He's giving it. Is God showing us something here? Is this really his word? Yes, because he's not just taking his word and he's confirming it. He's confirming it with miracles. The Old Testament priests, yes, they're wonderful and they had a function, but hey, here's the New Testament. And here's the New Testament. Jesus came to proclaim life, liberty, health, wholeness, freedom for the captives. And that's the ministry that Peter's in. He's taking Jesus' ministry and he's going out with it. And not just he, but all the apostles. He's doing what Jesus did. That's cool. That's very cool. There's a festival that Rich and I go to. He runs the drama program, and lately I've been the pastoral care counselor, director of care and counseling. There was one day we were having a healing ceremony, just praise and worship late into the night. It was wonderful. And a young woman came to me, and she was a violinist. And you know how those violinists do? They just overuse these muscles here. Right? Especially at a four-week program where they're practicing every single day, which is much more than most practice at home, right? True confessions, Claude? Is that? So she's practicing every day, and her whole mission there is to get good for God, to get good at her craft, and she's paid a hunk of money for it, and she's wanting to do it, but her arms hurt so bad, and it's only halfway through the program. They hurt so bad. And my heart was touched for her. So I'm like, oh, I can so see that she wants to honor God with her music, but she just can't. If she goes further, she's going to hurt herself badly. And so I asked God, I said, God, can you please, will you please, just heal her. We prayed together, she and I. Then she left, and at the door, I heard her scream, ah! Or something of that akin. The pain was gone. Her arms had been healed. Jesus ministered. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. He's still in the miracle business. He still confirms his word. He still confirms his servant's work. In verse 16, a multitude came from the towns from around Jerusalem, bringing sick and demonized people, and they were all healed. The word spread. Word got out. The apostles were still mainly ministering in Jerusalem. They're still building the church there. They're not yet out there. People are coming to them. People are attracted by God. People are attracted by the genuine God, right? The real God. They know him. They sense him. I was talking with Dominic last night, and he said something like that. People see something in him as he sings. They see something in a secular setting. They're seeing something. They don't understand what it is. I think Jennifer said this too on Thursday. People come up to her in Belgium. They wanted to know, what is she on? What is she on? You know, there's something. There's God is attractive. It's time for us to get that into our heart. God is attractive. We don't have to apologize for him. We don't have to be embarrassed about explaining him to other people. He is attractive. People love him. People want him. And those who don't, fine. There'll be a day, believe me, there'll be a day they'll want him, or at least they'll kneel to him. People are attractive. But here's the point. I want you to see this cycle in Scripture. Peter and John go out and they heal that guy by the Gate Beautiful, who, by the way, Jesus probably walked past many times in his life, right? Jesus used the Gate Beautiful, never healed him during his ministry, left him for Peter and John. Peter and John heal him. The religious authorities get freaked out. They start to persecute him. the believers pray. God confirms, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. Miracle, 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 sign, wonder, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. I'm with you. And the more the apostles believe that, the more they preach God's word. The more they preach God's word, the more God confirms it. The more he shows them, I'm with you. I'm healing. I'm touching. I'm transforming. You don't have to live in your pain. I am here in this place. I want to ask you, did you pray that prayer 2 weeks ago? We all stood up, or many of us stood up and prayed that prayer. Because you know what? God wants to answer that prayer. Today's the day he wants to answer it. So I want to offer you another opportunity to pray that prayer. Because he will answer it for you. But you got to remember that sometimes you get persecuted for that. We're going to go in on in Acts and we're going to see the cycle of persecution and opposition. What happens? You get down and pray. That's it. Opposition, prayer. God confirms. Opposition, prayer. God confirms. So many times we get that opposition and we're like, oh, it's all over now. Where's God? Where is he? He's here. He's answering your prayer. Opposition, prayer. Speak God's word. He'll answer. I want to offer you the opportunity to pray again this prayer. And so if you dare to pray this prayer, I'm the rapper, I think. You tell Dominic, I'm the rapper. If you dare to pray this prayer, then please pray it out loud with me. It's the prayer in Acts 4. Okay, it doesn't matter what version you're using. It starts in verse 24, the second part of 24. It starts with them saying, Sovereign Lord. Alrighty? One, two, three. Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And so in the immortal words of the idol of our day, the advertising agency, basically, we have prayed this prayer, now just do it. Just do what you prayed. You speak the word with boldness. You asked God to confirm it. He will confirm it. Just speak the word. Just speak it. Just go on. No matter what comes against you, opposition, just do it. Just do it. You know, my husband reminded me of something that happened with him. He had injured his toe because of a moment of opposition. Something had come against him, and he had injured his toe. And in frustration, kicking the wall. All right. So this way I suggest to you prayer. I suggest prayer. But he had injured his toe. But he had been, you know, invited to perform. And he had to perform. And he's very physical when he performs. A lot of flips, back flips, you know, all these kind of things. And so You know, it's hard to be balanced without a big toe. And so he was just in agony. And where he was, in the town he was, the college he asked for prayer, and a woman placed her hand on his toe and prayed, and the pain was completely gone. So Rich was able to speak God's word. He went on with it. He just did it. I do not recommend kicking the wall. I recommend prayer first, but God answered, and Rich just did it. And that's what God says today. And so I think he's asking us for a nuanced kind of response to this message, many faceted response to this message. Firstly, do you want to do what Jesus did? Do you want this ministry? Do you want to keep on keeping on? I heard some of you praying, so I'm going to assume that with prayer, the people of you who prayed are kind of wanting this. So I'm going to ask you, close your eyes, or no, don't close your eyes. I need your eyes open. I need your eyes open. No injuries, although we'll pray about that. If you want to do what Jesus did, please stand up. Lord, I'm just going to pray for these ones who are standing because they want to do what Jesus did. You know the ministry that you have for each one. And you know the miracles that you are equipping them to do. You know the signs and the wonders that you will do through them. And I ask you to look upon their enemies and do the righteous thing with their enemies, Lord. Do the righteous thing. But now, enable them to speak your word with boldness, to enable them to do what Jesus did. Give them that opportunity, those opportunities. Give them those opportunities, Lord. Open the doors wide that they might be able to speak your word and with boldness, to just carry on and to allow those people who don't even know how to talk about God, don't even know how to ask about God, to see God in them and be attracted. Be attracted by the Jesus, the Holy Spirit residing within. And bless their works, Lord God, by bringing multitudes and multitudes to yourself through these ones. Yay, this is the day of salvation, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Now bless them and keep them safe, Lord God. Bind the enemy away from them and cast him into the abyss in Jesus' name, and fill them with your Holy Spirit. Enable them to pray and to speak. And Lord, give them the boldness to ask you to confirm. You want to show us in signs and miracles. You want to do that, Lord God. I believe you will. Start with the miracle of transforming us, each individual within us, among us, Lord, transform us. Because as we become more holy, Lord God, more given to you, we allow the miracles to flow. We allow people to see miracle, the miracle of our changed life. And I thank you, Lord, for this robust response, Lord, to your word. You bless them now in Jesus' name. I think God would also like to heal today. And so if you want healing, physical, emotional, financial, mental, relational, if you need healing, remain standing. Those of you who stood up to do the wonderful acts of God, look at those of you who are standing. I want you to gather in groups of three, two or three, to pray for each other. Because this is your chance. You're going to be ministering to each other now. You said, yes, you would. Now gather. 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 Share what you can share, what you want to share. Gather, pray for each other. So, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for these ministers. Thank you, Lord. Go forth in power, Lord God, through these ministers. Let your word be done. Let healing come. In Jesus' name.
He has the power to heal, just as we read in the Bible. He made the lame walk, the blind see, and he healed people emotionally, physically, in all sorts of ways to make us whole. Because we're all made in his image. And we can't get back to that original creation unless we reach out to the perfect creator to be restored. Dear Lord, I pray for the ones that prayed, that you hear us. We agree with all these prayer. And we can only be whole by reaching out to you. There's many self-help books and lots of things that we can try to do ourselves to spruce ourselves up. And not that they're all bad, but Lord, we're always going to fall short. We need your help. Whole, to be your people, to be what you create us to be. That's why you sent your son to die for us and to show us the way. And we give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you want to still pray, be welcome. We have some goodies out there if you want to share and hang out for a bit.